Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of worshipping you here today. And we pray that by your Spirit, you will teach us from your word so that we may honor you in our lives. Amen. Just a personal thing. After Barbara and I were helping in poor schools in Zambia some 10 years or so ago, we had the privilege at the end of that of going to the Victoria Falls. And we were there 3 successive years. And over those 3 successive years, we experienced that same wonderful visit to the Victoria Falls. The first year, we got drenched as we walked to the viewing point. Second year, we got wet as we went to the viewing point. The third year, hardly a spray of water. Yes. It was changing. But I can't remember then climate change being very much on the agenda in our news. That was what was happening. And we know that water is getting scarce because just recently it's been announced that we need to have a big reservoir created here in Cambridgeshire so that we can have supplies of water. Water is essential for our lives, isn't it? And as last week, actually, Colin mentioned that it's good to take a bottle of water with you when you're going out on a visit anywhere or that kind of thing, walking and so on. So we hear from Isaiah talking to the Jewish people these words, "Come all who are thirsty, come to the waters." And in verse 2, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy?" I wonder if that's referring to the materialistic view of our world that is so prevalent at this time. We are bombarded via the television of adverts to get this, to do that, to spend and spend. Often on things that we don't really need and actually don't always satisfy. Some people can just shut that out of their minds, like my wife. Others, rather like myself, take in those adverts. And what can happen is when they pierce our minds if we're not careful. They penetrate and influence us as we look. So we need to be careful of these things. Do you remember Jesus' parable, and a parable being a story with a special meaning, about the man who was rich, so rich that he had plenty of things, and then he had a wonderful, wonderful harvest. Such a harvest, he thought, I'll tear down my barns because they won't take all that harvest in. I'll be bigger ones. And put all that grain harvest into it. He said, and I'll take my life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool, this night, this very night, your life will end. Sad, but it can happen. And a little bit later on, Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where are our hearts? Possessions aren't everything, you know. As many of you know, the poor in our society, the poor across the world, have not the possessions that we have. So going back to verse 1 in our reading, it says this, you who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy milk and wine without cost. I mean, where do you shop? The Co-op? Sainsbury's? Whatever supermarket? Have you tried going in there and buying things without money? Of course, you have a credit card, but I mean, you know, physically speaking, you have to have something to buy. So isn't this rather strange? Buying without cost, that's really strange, isn't it? But the real point about it here is listening. It says, listen, listen. Are you listening? Are you listening? And then in verse 3, it says this, give ear and come to me. Listen. Why? Why should we listen? That you may live, that you may have satisfying life here and now. And the promise, as we know, of eternal life later, reflected in the very familiar words from John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. So Isaiah, in a bit further on in verse, challenges us, says this, seek the Lord while he is near, while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. We can be sure that we know that God is actually always near us. We may not see him, we may not even hear him in our minds, that, but he is always near. But then a bit of a challenge later on in this passage. In verse 7, it talks about the wicked and the unrighteous. The wicked and the unrighteous. You may say, I'm not wicked. I live a decent kind of life. Yes, I'm sure that's true for virtually all of us. Maybe all of us. I don't know. I don't know you. But actually, all of us are unrighteous. Can you honestly say, I have never done anything wrong? I have never said a nasty word. I have never thought awful things about people or gossiped to people, anything like that. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us is perfect. And my wife can tell you that precisely. About me, of course, yes. But verse 7 also encourages us and saying this, if we turn to the Lord, he will have mercy on us and freely pardon us. This is the loving God that we worship here today. He will freely pardon us. Come, all you who are thirsty. You may remember that Jesus, in conversation with a Samaritan woman at a well, talked about living water. And she asked, where could she get this living water? And Jesus replied, everyone who drinks from this well, excuse me, will be thirsty again. In other words, whatever the world can give us will not completely satisfy. It won't. But then he went on to say, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In other words, only Jesus can satisfy. And then back to Isaiah in verse 2 again, it says this, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Bread is necessary, isn't it? Bread is a staple diet. It may not be in every land bread, but it could be something like, rice, thank you, yes. That's the word I was trying to remember. You know, you forget as you get older, you know that, don't you? Jesus is talking to the Jewish people about bread. And he says, the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And as he's talking to the Jewish people, there comes a request. Where can we get this bread? Where can we get it? And he answered, words that may be familiar to you, I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will never grow hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So here are the facts, that if we've given our lives to him, we can be sustained by him with spiritual bread and water. Many of our brothers and sisters do not have what we have. They are persecuted, they are pushed around, but they have this hope that the living bread, Jesus, will sustain them in whatever situation they face. So if we come to him each day, we can actually be filled with his love. We can be guided by the Holy Spirit, who will help us in whatever our situations are, in whatever we have to do each day, the challenges we may face, the problems that confront us, and also the problems confronting our own Church of England. Many of us have had been discussing the Lent book in the course, and this past week it was about this. The numbers are declining. Yes, they are. And there are divisions within the church. Yes, there are. It was suggested that we're at a crossroads. Yes, we could be. That's not very encouraging, is it? However, let's be encouraged because in our universities, more students are interested in Christianity and spiritual things. That's interesting, isn't it? And as we were at a Bible Society, Cambridge Bible Society meeting this week, we discovered also from a man called Justin Brearley, who used to work for Premier Radio and do discussion things with very eminent people and all kinds of things. He's been doing research and so on. And he said that numbers are increasing across many denominations. And many young men between 18 and 30 are actually exploring the Christian faith, seeking to know more. And actually, numbers are increasing too, which is encouraging. We know that our numbers have been building up. Post-COVID, we were struck down in a sense, but we're building up. Isn't that encouraging? It's encouraging for Ruth and she ministers here, and those of us who worship here, which is good. So the challenge is this. Have you come to Jesus, the water of life? And will you come to him each day to be refreshed, to be sustained for whatever may face you? Amen. Oh, just a matter of interest. Does anybody know what yesterday was? What special day? Ah. Sorry? Sorry? Equinox? Sorry, I shouldn't have stepped out. It was actually the United Nations World Water Day. That didn't hit the headlines, did it? But Jesus is the water that really sustains, isn't he?